This is Thinking Outside the Portfolio, and I'm Jordan Burgess, Senior Vice President and Head of Product and Practice Consulting at Fidelity Investments. I've been at Fidelity for almost 3 decades, and through my tenure here, I'm consistently amazed by the diverse set of capabilities, insights, resources, and the expertise that the firm brings to investors and advisors. Over the last several years, we've invested in subject matter experts, from people who focus on capital markets to practice management professionals and asset class specialists in portfolio construction. We look at thousands of portfolios every year and use qualitative and quantitative measures to see where markets are going and what it means for you as advisors. We'll take you to the cutting edge of the financial industry, hearing the latest thinking from advisors on how they put together portfolios in an ever-changing world. We'll discuss the best ways to make connections with customers across the industry as well. And we'll answer some of your most pressing questions about your job. Just as important, we'll explore how we can help you build a scalable business to serve your clients in the most efficient way possible. At Fidelity, we're focused on working with advisors to address and talk about some of the common myths we observe when advisors are building portfolios. Today, the myth that one-size-fits-all portfolio is good enough, and the ways that personalization and customization can strengthen your clients' portfolios and help them reach their goals. Joining us to talk about this today is Jake DiNucci, Portfolio Strategist at Fidelity Investments. Jake, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
So, Jake, we've touched on some of these themes throughout the season. So, if listeners have been with us, they already know that one myth we like to dispel at Fidelity is there's such a thing as an optimal portfolio. Today, we're going to dig a little deeper along those lines. To start, in your experience, why do people tend to think a one-size-fits-all portfolio will work for them?
Yeah, Jordan, I think advisors often think that a one-size-fits-all portfolio will work for them because historically, this has been a brokerage business where an advisor could simply buy maybe a single mutual fund for their client, and they would get their load, and their client would get their capital appreciation. Now, with the transition to fee-based business, advisors have become fiduciaries, which has led them to be more aware of their portfolio construction. And as a result, the days of buying a one-size-fits-all portfolio are behind us.
So big picture, though, why are they wrong?
Because we know end clients' needs and wants differ. I mean, as a result, as you know, in my role every day as a portfolio strategist, I see advisors embracing this idea of taking on more customization and personalization. In fact, I mean, we believe that the future of advisory business will hold even more customization and personalization than we see today.
Now, when you say customize, what exactly does that mean?
Mm-hmm. To customize, Jordan, means that an advisor would take an off-the-shelf or prepackaged portfolio from either an asset manager or maybe even their home office and tailor that prepackaged solution to their specific needs and wants.
Okay, so they start with kind of there's a starting model portfolio or portfolio construction approach that they get from somebody else, their home office where they work at their broker dealer or an asset manager, and then they customize it for their portfolio. Could you give me an example of like what they might do to customize that? What are some of the things you see advisors do to customize a portfolio as they take that off the shelf asset manager or home office model?
Yeah, as you know, Jordan, we had a recent client example where a client approached us with the problem that they don't have enough bandwidth to actually grow their business while also doing the day-to-day management of their portfolios. So they wanted to use our model portfolios to create scale. However, they wanted us to customize those off-the-shelf portfolios to 3 specific needs they had. First, they wanted to incorporate some products that they were already using and their clients were familiar with. Second, they didn't want to leverage any products that they would have to pay redemption fees or ticket charges with on their platform. And then third and lastly, they wanted us to adjust our asset allocations to be aligned with their existing portfolios by, for example, creating a 100% equity model. Now, our team partnered with them to take our prepackaged solutions, customize them to those 3 specific needs. And then from there, we have quarterly calls where we meet with the client to understand if their needs and wants have changed. In addition, we share how the underlying model portfolios have reallocated and ultimately how we've updated their custom solutions.
Got it. So really kind of 2 approaches. One is the underlying componentry, and then 2 might be the asset allocation. And those are good examples of customization.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you mentioned customization and personalization in your opening comments. What do you mean by personalization, and how is that different from customization?
Yeah, so personalization differs from customization, and that personalization means tailoring that portfolio to the person. In this case, that's the end client's needs and wants and not the advisor's. So for example, a common personalization may be a client doesn't want to own any SEN stocks in their portfolio. To personalize that portfolio to the client would be for the advisor to take their existing portfolio and remove all SEN stocks from it. So with personalization, you get to the person, whereas customization, I look at that as the advisor level.
So Jake, what kind of impacts did you see for the client with the approach you mentioned earlier, where you compared the one-size-fits-all model from the broker-dealer or the asset manager to that more customized solution?
Yeah, so the benefits or the impact for an advisor using something customized relative to something more one-size-fits-all is by using a customized solution, the advisor still was able to scale their business, but they were able to maintain their fingerprint on the portfolio by aligning to the products they were familiar with and their asset allocation framework. And they additionally avoided any unnecessary expenses with redemption fees or ticket charges that would ultimately impact their bottom line. So the advisor immediately saw impact by taking that more customized approach relative to something more one size fits all.
What are the biggest areas of customization you're seeing when you work with advisors today? Any trends that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so there's three big areas of customizations that we see on a daily basis on the portfolio construction guidance team, Jordan. They're customizing for income. There's also customizing for impact. And lastly, customizing for tax efficiency. So for clients who are maybe retiring or near retiring, hitting a specific income target may be their primary need rather than capital appreciation. Or second, for those clients that want investments to have an impact, we often see advisors customizing existing portfolios to have an ESG or environmental, social, and governance focused. And then lastly, of course, right now we are in the middle of tax season. So a lot of advisors, I can tell you, are asking us, especially today, is my portfolio tax efficient? In fact, one big trend we see is for those advisors whose clients are high net worth or ultra high net worth, they've been asking what alternative solutions are available to me other than traditional ETFs and mutual funds. And for those advisors, we've been offering SMAs, which allow them to own the underlying securities, improving overall tax efficiency of their portfolios.
So income makes sense with the big boom and the need for retirement income solutions. ESG, obviously a big topic in the industry. And then tax is always important and seems like ever, you know, even more important these days. You started to mention SMAs, so let's go there. Separately managed accounts, why are those important for investors to know about?
Okay. So separately managed accounts are important for investors to know about because they allow investors to have direct ownership of the underlying securities, which really has three primary benefits for investors. First, they allow for transparency and control. Because when you directly own the underlying securities, you have a clear view into what you own. So say you bought an S&P 500 SMA, Jordan. Rather than seeing a single line item on your statement that says the S&P 500 like you would with a more traditional index fund, with an SMA, you actually see shares of Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook because you actually own the underlying securities. Now, second, because of that direct ownership of the underlying securities, SMAs allow for increased tax efficiency because you only own your own capital gains and no one else's. And then third and lastly, SMAs support personalization. So you can personalize these solutions based on an end client's needs and wants. For example, oftentimes clients will have a stock option plan at work and therefore have concentrated stock positions. SMAs would allow you to exclude that specific security from the SMA portfolio, given the client's already concentrated position in that specific security. Or another example that has become extremely relevant and popular today is ESG personalization, meaning maybe a client doesn't want to own oil and gas companies. Well, you can specifically exclude all oil and gas companies within the SMA because of the fact that you own all of the underlying securities through that structure.
That's helpful. So SMAs really link pretty closely to your personalization comments earlier, and allowing people to personalize for different needs, whether it be the company stock position you mentioned or ESG. So that's helpful. Let me dig into the ESG piece a little bit. It's a big trend right now. How does ESG investing fit into this personalization and customization model?
To your point, ESG is a very important area right now to Fidelity and even to our customers. In fact, in 2018, we had a Fidelity Consulting customer review survey where we found 79% of women want to invest for impact and 70% of millennials want to invest for impact. So certainly a big trend right now. And for those that aren't familiar and are listening, ESG just simply means looking at companies through environmental, social, and governance factors and incorporating those factors into your investment decision-making process, where environmental factors cover things from climate change to air and water pollution. Social factors cover themes like gender diversity and employee health and safety. And governance factors encompass themes like shareholders' rights. Now, ESG, to your point, is at the center of this topic, as it's one of those three kind of common customizations we see on a daily basis, and truly one of the biggest personalizations we're seeing advisors make on a daily basis. So much like the custom model case that we discussed earlier, where our advisory client in Missouri was taking an off-the-shelf portfolio and customizing it to their needs and wants, we often see advisors taking their existing total return portfolios and creating an ESG version by replacing their existing products with ESG products. In fact, to make this process easier for advisors, at the end of January, Fidelity actually launched ESG Pro, which is a very simple web-based solution that brings together portfolio construction with in-client experience tools, allowing advisors to create and customize open architecture ESG models. I should also mention, Jordan, that for those advisors that need even a deeper level of personalization, Fidelity in the fall actually announced a strategic relationship with Ethic, which is a technology-driven asset manager that creates customized SMAs for advisory firms that are aligned to end clients' specific ESG needs and wants. So if products are too broad and you need something even more specific to clients, Ethic is a great solution to get some very personalized SMAs.
Great. Thank you very much. That makes a ton of sense. So it sounds like ESG is certainly one of the big places we can think about for personalization portfolios. Sounds like Fidelity's pretty active there with ESG Pro and the work they're doing with Ethic. Jake, thanks for being with us. Jake is a portfolio strategist at Fidelity Investment. Thanks for speaking with us today. Very helpful comments. We really appreciate it. On Thinking Outside the Portfolio, we always love to bring you into the conversation and advise. If you've got a question for us, be sure to reach out. Our listener question today is about how to approach personalization with clients who don't know where they actually want to start. Beyond ESG, what else would you recommend as a jumping off point for finding the kinds of investments clients care about, Jake?
Yeah, so beyond ESG, I think the most important first step for advisors is to just have a very deep, personalized conversation with the client to try to get an understanding of what the client truly wants and cares about. That way, the advisor can personalize that portfolio to what the actual client cares about and believes in, whether that is ESG broadly, as you alluded to, maybe specific causes, or even maybe supporting specific industries and sectors.
To our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Please join me for future episodes of Thinking Outside the Portfolio as we discuss the myths and realities of portfolio construction. Until then, I'm Jordan Burgess. Stay safe and be well.
Information presented herein is for illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views are expressed as of February 2021 based on the information available at that time and may be changed based on market or other conditions. The opinions provided are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Nothing in this content should be considered as legal or tax advice, and you are encouraged to consult your own lawyer, accountant, or other advisor before making any financial decisions. Security names mentioned are for illustrative purposes only, not a recommendation or offer to buy or sell any securities. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure profit or guarantee against loss. Stock markets, especially foreign markets, are volatile and can decline significantly in response to adverse issue or political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Foreign securities are subject to interest rate, currency exchange rate, economic, and political risks, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. The risks are particularly significant for funds that focus on a single country or region in general. The bond market is volatile, and fixed income securities carry interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall, and vice versa. The effect is usually more pronounced for longer-term securities. Fixed income securities also carry inflation, credit, and default risks for both issuers and larger parties. The use of the term advisor throughout this podcast shall refer to both investment advisors and broker-dealers as a collective term. Fidelity ESG Pro is an investment advisory service of Fidelity Institutional Wealth Advisor, LLC, a registered investment advisor, and an affiliate of FMR, LLC. Products and services presented here are managed by Ethic and may be presented by Fidelity Distributors Company, LLC, FDC, LLC, or Fidelity Brokerage Services, FBS, each a non-exclusive financial intermediary unaffiliated with Ethic. FDC, LLC, and FBS, limited to family office services, receive a referral fee as detailed in the referral agreement with Ethic. Fidelity has a minority equity interest in Ethic and has a contingent right to increase its equity interest under potentially favorable terms. Investing based on environmental, social, and corporate governance, ESG factors, may cause a strategy to forego certain investment opportunities available to strategies that do not use such criteria. Because of the subjective nature of ESG investing, there can be no guarantee that ESG criteria used by Ethic and its ESG strategies will reflect the beliefs or values of any particular client. Additionally, Ethic must rely upon ESG-related information and data obtained through third-party reporting that may be incomplete or inaccurate, which could result in Ethic imprecisely evaluating an issuer's practices with respect to ESG factors. Fidelity model portfolios, which include any custom models, are made available to financial intermediaries on a non-discretionary basis by Fidelity Institutional Wealth Advisor, LLC, FIWA, a registered investment advisor, or by Fidelity Distributors Company, LLC, a registered broker-dealer. Fidelity Institutional SM, FI, provides investment products through Fidelity Distributors Company, LLC, and clearing custody or other brokerage services through National Financial Services, LLC, or Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Members NYSE, SIPC. Institutional Asset Management Services are provided by FIAM, LLC, or Fidelity Institutional Asset Management Trust Company. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC. Before investing in any mutual fund or exchange-traded product, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact your investment professional or visit i.fidelity.com for a prospectus or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Reference number 966-898.1.0.